Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of From the Roots Up. This is going to be a bittersweet show for me because this is going to be the last new episode for a while. I'm not going to go into great detail, but let's just say I got the call to public service and I answered it. In the times we're living in, I think we all have a role to play, and maybe this is mine. So it's not goodbye, it's just so long for now, and I will see you out in the world. Google my name, Sean Frame, and you'll figure out what I'm up to if you're interested. So here's the good news. We're going to have an excellent show. We're going to pause on a high note. Since I began this show, I've wanted to have one of my heroes on to talk about a subject that people think is boring, and that subject is budgets. Her superpower is really to not only make the topic exciting, but to make it clear that these documents are where we know who we are. She ran for mayor of Sacramento and is now running for Sacramento County Board of Supervisors. Is that enough of a tease? You probably know who I'm talking about, and I'm just going to leave it right there and let you know that we're going to do a deep dive on budgets as a reflection of values this week on From the Roots Up. If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, the Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club, there's always something happening. Welcome back to From the Roots Up. I'm Sean Frame, and as always, I try and bring guests who have a perspective on things that, I don't know, maybe we don't think about every day. Maybe we don't really understand the significance of. Today I have somebody who made me love budgeting. And that's crazy, but it made me, like, I always understood it, and I was like, that's a thing we got to do. But the passion that this person talked about budgeting with was, like, really got me. And so I am here today with Dr. Flo Kofer. She has just announced that she is running for Sacramento County's Board of Supervisors, District 1. She narrowly missed becoming the mayor of the city of Sacramento. She got a doctorate in public health, of all things. Welcome, Dr. Flo.
It's good to be here. It's really good to be here. And so funny that you're saying making budgets fun, because I think budgets are a lot sexier than I think people want them to be or think they are. So this is a great conversation. I'm excited about it. And yeah, heartbreaking elections when they're that close.
Yeah. Well, you said budgets are sexy. And I want to tell you, like, this is, let me set the scene. When you became one of my political heroes, I was at your house for an event. And the event had kind of wound down, and there was maybe a dozen or so people milling about. And you sat down, you had a little fire pit, and you sat down, and people sat down, and somehow the topic of budgets came up. And I was across the backyard talking to somebody else, and I heard the passion with which you talked about the city budget for the city of Sacramento. And this would be prior to you running for mayor. And the passion with which you talked about the county budget and the specifics. And not only did I feel that passion that you had for it, but I learned things from 40 feet away in the shadows about the place I lived. So that, and to me, like, now you see the scene, right? There's this fire and there's Flo holding court on the budget.
Holding court.
It is one of my favorite political moments in Sacramento. And it was the time when I was like, oh, I am a fan. I want this person to go places. And it wasn't too much later after that that you announced your run for mayor. And I was so excited. So there's a phrase you use about budgets that I love. It's one that I use myself. And I've heard other people passionate about public service say it. Budgets are a reflection of values. What does that mean?
Budgets are the place where, you know, the plans and the slogans become real, right? So when we say, do we prioritize kids? Budgets are the places where we can say yes or no, right? Because it's easy to say, I love the kids, or I want to protect the environment, or I think public transit is important, or, you know, these are the things that I value. But when you actually go and see where you spend the money and where you invest, that's a way to be able to show it. And, you know, to me, it's a moral document. It also is a reflection of our values, but it's something that I was told from a very young age, because, you know, a saying that a lot of the sort of, you know, older folks in my community would say, show me how you spend your time and your money, and I'll tell you what's important to you, or I'll tell you what you value.
From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Six Pack. Crack open some change and support the candidates and causes we need in these times. Paid for by The Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
People will ask you all the time, I'm sure, when you're out, you know, knocking on doors or out in public having meetings, talking to people, they're going to say, why don't my parks not kept up? Why is the playground equipment broken? Why are my pools closed? Why does the road have potholes in it? And bottom line is, well, somebody made a choice for those things to go unfunded.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's not an accident. It's not like, oh no, we just forgot to send the maintenance truck over to the park, or we didn't know about those potholes.
Right.
It's something different, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The difference is we've made a decision about where the resources are going to go, and we do that annually for most cities and counties and, of course, our state. And so annually we sit down and we look at how much money we have and we say, well, where do we want to spend it? And, of course, in any organization, the biggest expense you're going to have is going to be the people that you're spending money on. So it's going to be personnel. But the question is, where do we spend those personnel dollars? And in most of our municipalities, those dollars are spent on emergency response. So that is the thing that we have sort of prioritized. And we have said, when something happens, we want somebody to respond to it. And I don't have an objection to having strong emergency response. I come from a public health background. I am an epidemiologist by training and profession. And a lot of my work in life has been, how do we respond to emergencies? How do we respond to COVID? I worked on Zika when it was a new virus that was really dangerous, causing significant birth defects, especially for pregnant women who contracted it. And so, you know, I want to prevent emergencies too, right? We're always worried this year we have a really bad flu, you know, novel viruses, or when we have shift and drift in the virus like we had this year, can make a lot of people sick. So I have no problem with that. But when we trade emergency response for preventive investments, that's where some of the challenge comes in. That's where it's lopsided. So I don't think that most of the things that our municipalities are spending their money on are not bad things. But the question becomes, where do we want to go? Where are we now? And is what we're spending on going to help us get from where we are now to where we want to go? And in most instances, when you look at our budgets, the answer to that is no. It's that we want something different in the future, but we're not spending now like we want to get there. We say in the future, we want to have a place where we have small businesses that are thriving. In the future, we want to have, you know, jobs that can help us address our environmental challenges, that can, you know, can reduce our reliance on fossil fuels. So, and we want to have more solar, and we want to protect our environment better. And that's why we want the solar, right? And we want people to be able to take transit and walk and bike safely. And even when they're driving, drive safely, but have fewer car trips because they can walk and take transit. And these are all the things that we really care about. And then we go and we spend our money in ways that don't get us anywhere near that. We don't invest in the street infrastructure to be able to say, how do we change the design? And we don't, you know, we don't set up our public transit so people can reduce their car trips, because the bus comes or the train comes more than once every half an hour or once every hour, right? We don't ensure that where people live and where people work has the connection so people can get there on that transit. We don't, you know, we don't invest. You want nice parks, but we don't invest in making sure that we can keep the bathrooms up in your park and that we can put new equipment in and that it's well manicured. We don't do those things. And then we look around and go, wow, this place really looks like it's getting run down, or, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that. And it's like, well, where did you spend your money?
I see the pestilence outside my window. I see the dumb meat spot at least a mile high. I see the shards of sand.
This episode of From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Torch Club, Sacramento's premier live music venue every Wednesday to Sunday. Check them out at 904 15th Street in Sacramento or online at torchclub.net. We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When I was on the school board for 9 years, right, I got to know the state budget really well because I was like, well, the money we get, and I started during the global financial crisis. So that was a time when, you know, many school districts were laying people off, shortening the school week. I mean, it was a desperate time for our state and for our nation and for actually from almost all the economies on planet Earth right at that moment. And it rolls right down to our little tiny school district that you could hardly find on a map if you were looking at it from outer space. And what I learned then was basically the broad brushstrokes at that time, and it changes from year to year, was that state budget looks like this: 40% for TK through community college education, 38% for Medi-Cal, which is mostly pass-through dollars from the federal government. Obviously, in this exact moment, that's changed quite a bit, and this is really messing up our budget. And then about 10%, I think it was 11% at that time, for prisons. Those are the big chunks. The remaining 12% was everything else the state did.
Yep.
Roads, parks, infrastructure, every other thing the state does. And you could, that list is a mile long, 12% of the budget.
Yeah. And, it, you know, in our local municipalities, our cities and our counties, the balance is a little different. It's majority, you know, emergency response. So that's law enforcement, that's, you know, firefighters, that all of those kind of fall into that bucket. And then you end up with these smaller buckets for how do you maintain your parks and how do you maintain your roads? And, you know, are there investments we want to make in young people and that sort of thing, right? But the majority of the money goes to those big buckets. And to a lesser extent, some of the personnel that are working in the city and in the other spaces, but largely the personnel in those. And so it then becomes this question of, okay, so we're investing primarily in emergency response. We're investing primarily in law enforcement. And then we look up and we say, I'll give you an example. I was sitting in Oak Park at a neighborhood association meeting, and they invited the Sacramento Police Department to come out, and they were talking about these sideshows that were happening around town. And this is like beginning of summer. And they were talking about the profile that, you know, these are mostly like 13 to 19 year olds that are out there. And immediately after this presentation is over, and they were saying, let us know if you see sideshows so we can come out and address the safety risk, blah, blah. Then UC Davis got up to talk about Aggie Square, and they were talking about how they have their summer programs coming. And they talked about their summer programs being for kids through eighth grade. And if you see the overlap, you'll understand what I'm talking about, because I was at the time working at New Tech Early College High School in this program, just like a mom that was community mothering. And I had been trying to get all 28 of the students I was working with, predominantly Black students, to get some internships over the summer. And I was having a frustrating time finding internships because most of the internships are for kids up to eighth grade. It's like, we know that they need a babysitter up to about that age. And so we design the summer programs as childcare. And the moment that we think, okay, you're 14, you're old enough to stay home by yourself, we do nothing. And so there were a few programs out there. Most of them were a week or two. And the ones that were longer were $1,000 a week, something that most families could not afford. And so here you are talking about these bored 13 to 19 year olds, because school is out, right, who are doing sideshows, and then immediately coupled with an example of, and this is not to blame UC Davis, but just an example of, we've designed all these programs for kids up to eighth grade. And so we have a bunch of bored, broke teenagers outside doing stuff over the summer because they have nothing else to do. And we've invested you know, in other things, but not in them having enrichment programs for the summer. And so that's an example of you want something different. You want to stop these sideshows, but you're spending the money on showing up after the sideshow begins instead of the investment in having these kids have something to do so they're not engaging in sideshows in the first place.
From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at khi.com.
To not have to have a law enforcement action at a sideshow, just have the sideshow just not happen, right? Like, if people have something to do that's positive and fun, that's forward-looking, that gives them some idea of a life beyond the absolute boredom. And I remember that. I don't know if you remember what it was like to be a teenager. That was a long time ago for me now. But I remember just when school would get out, just that feeling of like, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? My social life is gone unless I get it back together. You know, the things that keep me excited and engaged, those aren't happening right now. And it's real easy if you've got friends that want to get into trouble that you just go get into trouble. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I mean, and again, this is how we structure our society, right? So we've done this summer break thing because we needed people when we were a largely, you know, agricultural society. We needed those months off to be able to do farm work. But the majority of students in America are not doing farm work over the summer. So why don't we leave that schedule to the places where it works for them and set up schedules that work for, you know, the places where farming is not going to happen? Like, we can have this done. That's the point of having like regional control and local control of education, is that if you're in a place where that's a large portion of your workforce, by all means, like the kids have some, because those kids aren't bored over the summer. They have jobs and they have things that they're doing. But for the ones who are not doing that, you've just given 3 months of, you know, education, you know, gap extending, right? You've given 3 months where parents are struggling with childcare when they have work. You've given 3 months where kids are not getting some of the education support that they need. You've spent 3 months, but you haven't invested and spent those 3 months wisely. And so what would it look like if we restructured that to be able to get better outcomes? But all of these, that would require more money, because now we would have to pay our teachers for a 12-month salary instead of a 9 or 10-month salary. And then we would have to think about all of these buildings that don't have air conditioning because we weren't planning on the students being there over the summer. And we would have to, you know, so there would have to be some investments. But we're spending that money anyway. We're just spending it in other ways. And the same thing comes up, you know, when it comes to homelessness, especially the, you know, a lot of the money that is spent on enforcement. It's spent on sweeping people away. It's spent on, you know, like gathering and storing belongings. It's spent on arresting people and processing through the system. But that does not get people into permanent care. And so when you look, there is this sort of cycle that people do where it's, you know, from street to jail, to emergency room, to street, to jail, to emergency room, that's constantly happening for a segment of people who, most of whom actually need some supportive housing, right? It's not just housing, but it's also supportive housing. These are people who may struggle to live alone because of disabilities, because of executive functioning challenges, because, you know, of chronic conditions. And here we're in a position where instead of addressing that in a way that's less expensive, we spend $1 million per person every year on some of these individuals because of the high cost of receiving their care. And I'm putting that in air quotes, in our jails, with our fire and police department and ambulances, right? And in our emergency rooms.
This episode of From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Torch Club, Sacramento's premier live music venue every Wednesday to Sunday. Check them out at 904 15th Street in Sacramento or online at torchclub.net.
Waiting for the ambulance to come.
We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
I was a part of a really fantastic group called the People's Budget. It's Sacramento, and that still exists in concept, but is not as active as it once was. And when we were at our most active, we put out a survey asking people in Sacramento. We got thousands of responses asking people in Sacramento sort of what they wanted their budget priorities to look like based on the things that they wanted to see in their communities, and how do you prioritize that, and how do you rank them against? And then we compared that to how the county was spending its money. And what we found is that, so the way that people think about things is very similar to the conversation we're having. People said they wanted about a third of their county dollars going towards human needs. And human needs are things like housing and homeless services, food access, public health care, child and infant care, and elder support services. They said they wanted about 30% of their budget to be spent on community safety that's reimagined. So crisis management, community mental health, community investment, fire department, reentry services, like restorative justice, like really trying to make sure that we have emergency response, but it's sort of right responder, right way. And we're investing in some of the things that also keep us safe that are not just responding after an emergency. And then they said they wanted about 28% spent on things like community resources and the environment. So parks, public transportation, youth development, and arts. And then said they wanted about 7% spent on law enforcement and the carceral system. So policing, the district attorney, and jails. And then they said, so the top priorities for...
Well, hold on, let me just stop you there. I just want to say something. The people are smart.
Yes, exactly. Because if we spent those money on those things, we would experience the safety, and we would experience the beauty, and we would have opportunities for kids. I mean, parks are a great site. We should have a lot more summer programs in parks. We should have a lot more going on in our parks and library systems, period. They should be community hubs and resources, and they should be the first stop when you're thinking about what can my family and I do? Where can my child go? That is a place that we should invest. It's so good for our health in so many different ways. But instead of having this like sort of 30, 30, 7 for law enforcement, and then another 30 for community resources and the environment. So human needs, community safety reimagined, and community resources in the environment, we spend 71% of our county's budget on law enforcement and the carceral system. We spend about 1% on community resources in the environment. We spend 14% on a category of sort of other, which includes some of those like reimagined public safety, but not in the robust way that has been described here by the people who live in Sacramento County. And then we spent 14% on human needs. And so when you compare those two, you see people saying, here's what we want, right? The survey results weren't people don't want law enforcement or a carceral system. It was that, why are we spending 7 times on it, what I think it should be spent on, and not spending and investing in these other ways, especially as we have an aging population of baby boomers and we're going to need elder support services. And all of us are hopefully aspiring, elders, because one day we're going to hopefully have a long enough life that we need some additional support. There are young kids who, again, need child and infant care and our investments at the front end, right? That Frederick Douglass quote of like, it's much easier to build strong adults than it is to repair, to build strong children than it is to repair broken adults, right? And so what are we doing to build strong children instead of trying to repair broken adults? Or we're not even trying to repair them at this point. We're just trying to, address the challenges that come up for them, play whack-a-mole with us after we've done it. And so I think that's why budgets are so important to me, because you will hear people say, I believe the children are the future. And you will hear people say, we need our parks and we need clean streets. And then you look to see where the dollars are spent. And I'm like, well, you don't even have any street cleaning money in here. So how are the streets going to get cleaned? And you don't have any money in here for childcare. So how are the kids that important? And how are the kids going to be our future if we don't spend any money on them now? And so that's why it can't just be platitudes and, oh, this person believes this. It also has to be, where are we spending those dollars?
Right. And you know, nobody wants to hear you say, hey, by the way, we'll fix it all by just, you know, taxing everybody a lot more. But because yes. working class people are squeezed pretty darn hard, right? Like at every angle. And it's what there's a lot of what I call invisible taxation, right? Mm-hmm. So when you think about healthcare, that's just taxation that yep. goes to a private entity yep. that takes a big chunk of your income away and doesn't even provide you in return the full benefit of what you spent. So, you know, I get it. Working class people, everybody in my union, the people I represent, particularly the 12% of my coworkers who are below the poverty line and working full time for the County Office of Education, you know, they're like, you can't say to them, hey, you like these priorities? We're just going to raise your taxes. We're going to make a 15% sales tax. Oh, no. And that's not going to do it because there's only so much. Yeah. So
we have to spend the money that we have wisely. And so that's always my commitment is before I ask someone for more money, and hopefully we don't have to, you know, I want to say, have we spent the money we have in the best way possible? And if the answer to that is no, I cannot in good conscience come to you and ask you for more money.
There's one for you, 19 for me.
If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, the Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club, there's always something happening. From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at khi.com.
I know sometimes people say, oh, we shouldn't compare our home budgets to our municipal budgets. But in some ways we should, because when we're at home and we realize that less money is coming in or we've been spending in some ways, sometimes you can go out and find a new job, but usually you have to reprioritize. You have to say, look, things have changed around here. And so we need to invest in this. Look, grandma is sick. And so the money we were going to spend going to getting the season pass to Disneyland now has to be spent to make sure that grandma gets what she needs, because that's now the priority, right? It's not, okay, now we're going to, you know, now we're necessarily going to get more money or we're going to ask everybody to pitch in. Sometimes that's needed. But usually the first step is, how are we going to rearrange what we're spending to adjust for this priority? Because it is a priority and we have to make some changes. And that needs to be the same approach that we have about municipal money, because this is our money and it comes on the backs of working folks and poor folks who are disproportionately giving their dollars to fund these things. As a portion of the money that people are bringing in, the people who have the lowest incomes are paying the most. And so we have the greatest responsibility to them for A, how we spend it, but also to make sure they benefit from it because they're investing the most. So I just don't want that concept to get lost as we're talking about these billionaires' taxes and millionaires' taxes, that yes, them paying their fair share is a part of, you have a lot, you owe this back for the infrastructure that you're you know, depending on, that you are relying on, and that's your payment. But to be clear, who pays the most in terms of the proportion of their income? It is the people with the lowest incomes.
Right. And people think like, oh, well, some people don't pay income tax. But if you are paying sales tax of around 10%, yep. right, on everything that yep. you buy, including your food, the sustenance of your life, you are spending a huge portion of your income on taxes. And again, that just goes away a few pennies at a time every time you purchase something. And it doesn't show up, you know, in the broad, like at the end of the year, you're going to your tax time. It doesn't show up there.
Yeah.
It shows up every single day as a drain on what you have.
If you have a family of five with a household income of $100,000 and you have a family of five with a household income of $1 million, it costs the same, more or less, to feed that family of five, except the one family has $100,000 and the other family has 10 times that. So proportionately, they have spent more money on food than the family with $1 million has, because it is a larger chunk of that. And they have spent more as a proportion of their income in tax on that, you know, on whatever, you know, purchases they've made throughout that year, because they have a lower income. That's just the math of it all. And so that's who we have an even greater responsibility to, because of it's the proportion of their income that they're spending.
We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Believing I was somehow unique, like a snowflake, distinct among snowflakes, unique in each way you'd conceive. And now, after some thinking, I'd say I'd rather be a functioning cog in some great machinery, serving something beyond me. But I don't know what that will be. I'll get back to you someday, soon you will see. What's my name? What's my station?
So here's the hard question. Here's where it gets difficult, Flo. And this is when I was on the school board, I remember this. I got elected to the school board. I had all these grand ideas, right? I'm going to change our priorities. We had a very, very tough budget when I started. And then I realized, like, oh, there's all these decisions that were made. First of all, they were made somewhere else. Like, when you're on the school board, all those big decisions about your money are made in Sacramento, wherever your school district is.
Yeah. Yep.
And the other part was like, okay, and then these are the little areas that you can define. And you got to work with that a little bit. And it's really hard to make structural change because of decisions made by people before you. I'll give you an example. And this is one that's absolutely going to face you every day. Zoning decisions. How our property has been zoned out and how Sacramento County has been built out and how it will continue to be built out, because now there's a plan in place and people have made big financial decisions on that plan, determines a lot of what you can do structurally, right? Like, how do you start making the structural change to a budget that the people want? And I think I would say not even just want, the people desperately need. How do you start working in that system to little by little start shifting that structure of the budget to where it needs to be?
Yeah. So I think about this in a few ways, and I think this is a great question. So first, you know, when we're talking about the budget, we always need to make sure that we separate out. There's general fund, and then there are these enterprise funds, right? And special funds. And so the general fund is the money that we typically talk about because it's the squishiest. It's the money that's not committed, that whatever that municipality is, whether it's your county board of supervisors or your mayor and city council, they can decide how to spend those dollars. And then there are your enterprise funds. That's where we've said, you pay in for water, we have to provide you with water. We can't suddenly decide to shift that water money away after you pay your water bill and pay for something else, right? Because that is a broken contract. So some of those funds come in and they can only be spent in certain narrow categories. And even within those categories, there still is some squishiness to how those dollars are spent and making sure they're spent efficiently. So I know sometimes we just sort of set the enterprise funds aside and say they manage themselves. No, they don't. They also require some management, and there can be poor financial decisions even if I give you a category of money that you can spend on certain things. So that's important. And so that's one place where we can start to look and say, what are our investments? Because some of those, especially the ones that are for utilities, some of those dollars can also be spent in improving infrastructure, which can lower your costs. And they also can be spent on in ways to improve, you know, the environmental impact, which again is good for the rest. So like there are ways that even those dollars can be structured to be as efficient and effective as possible. But the biggest place that we can really change things around is for the general. And that general fund is not inconsequential. And so the challenge really becomes not just are we hampered by what we can't even spend on, but also have we locked ourselves into contracts that have provisions that we have to pay out over time. And we've done a lot of that. That is very true. We also, there still are opportunities for us not to just go, oh, well, sunk costs. We've already done it. So we just have to keep doing it this way. There are some ways for us to think about the future we want and to be able to change those spending decisions. And that's really where there is opportunity. And then the other opportunity, and it's not happening as much right now, but we certainly have had it happen over the last 5 years, and it is a real problem, is when emergency funds come in and how we spend those dollars. Because we got, the county of Sacramento got a lot of money for to respond to COVID. So did the city of Sacramento. They got a lot of money to respond. Those were federal dollars that came from CARES and came from the American Rescue Plan Act. And at the county, those dollars were not spent well. There was a big fight, and there had to be a lot of retooling, and a lot of time and lives were lost because we didn't respond in a way that was appropriate. It ended up with our, you know, county executive, you know, being forced to resign. It ended up with, you know, there having to be meetings where, you know, public health officers came out and said, like, we were told to ask for $2 million of this $300 million. And we unearthed that the rest of it went to the sheriffs, when there's no way the COVID money should have been going to law enforcement. But there is, you know, there is sort of the natural pattern of when new money comes in, that's where it goes. And so it sort of becomes like a vacuum, and we just keep spending at that, even if it doesn't make sense. So those
right, 71% is already in the budget. You're like, I guess 71% of this money should just go right over there.
They're the ones, they're set up to be able to accept money because they are usually the people accepting money, right? And so that is a problem. And some of it was blamed on infrastructure. They were sort of like, well, the sheriffs have da 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 da, so we put it there because, and it's like, let's say for a moment that I believe that. You don't see a problem with that when we're having a public health emergency, and you don't want to find a way to fix that when we have, you know, other contracts and things we need to do to be able to set up vaccination clinics all over the county. Like, so that's one part of it. And then the other part is that we have a grand jury in Sacramento and for the county, and the grand jury is not the same as like as a jury that you would have when you are going to court and you have either a criminal or a civil trial and you hear the prosecution and defense and then a verdict is rendered. This grand jury actually has a really intricate process to recruit people. And the last step of it is actually like a lottery after they get all these people who are qualified. I went through the process back in like 2011 or 12 and got to the final round, but then wasn't part of the lottery picking. And you have to have a lot of like time during the day, which I happened to have a job at the time that was really supportive of me doing this as civic engagement. But their role is a little bit different than the traditional juries that you see on TV. Their job is to do deep dive investigations and identify what's going on in our county. And the grand jury has put out some pretty, you know, damning, I'll say, reports about the things happening in the county, the management of homelessness being one, and just like how these resources are being wasted and what needs to happen. And they are constantly sort of standing and saying, we're not getting this right. And that, as well as we've had some lawsuits that have really sort of driven conversations in the county, because there was a disabilities group, Disability Rights California, that sued the county of Sacramento and said that the conditions in the jail are inhumane, and cannot be continued. And so there is a consent decree, an agreement that these are the things that need to happen to bring it up to code. And the list is long, the options are varied, and the county has decided that they think its best option is to spend $1 billion to expand the jail. And even though the county doesn't really have $1 billion, and 70% of the people in and out of the jail are there less than 10 days. So we're spending money on a short-term housing facility to expand it to be able to meet this instead of thinking of other ways that we could spend these dollars. And that's another example of us deciding, right? Like our decision makers deciding on how to spend resources that could be spent elsewhere, because that is not an enterprise fund. Those dollars do not have to be spent in this way, but this proposal keeps sort of dying and then being resurrected from the dead and then dying again and then being resurrected from the dead. And we're spending a lot of resources, even in the preparation for this, that could be better spent elsewhere.
If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, the Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club. There's always something happening.
This great system. People come out and they come to my neighborhood and they knock on my door and they make all these great promises and then they go away. I vote for them and then they get into office and then I wake up a few years later and nothing has changed. It's probably gone a little bit the wrong direction,
yep.
Which really breaks down people's trust.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And there are generational distrust now we're talking about, right?
Yes. And so I think now then this moves us beyond just budgets, right? This moves us into a conversation about what we want. And there is a conversation about how too often, you know, the people who come in who are very idealistic are saying, look at all the things we could do. And the, you know, sort of pragmatic folks in the room are saying, but we don't have and we can and we this. And I'm hoping that in 2026, we can say it enough and loud enough, and hopefully people will believe us because of their lived experience of the last 366 days, which is this. We're recording this on January 21st. We have been told our entire lives that change is slow, that it takes a long time to move. And what we have learned in the last year is that government, it's even a big federal government that is as bureaucratic and usually as slow as our federal government is, can move as quickly as we want it to be. As quickly as we want it to move, right? And we have learned that from the Trump administration. I do not agree with their vision for the majority of things. I would say probably most things. But what I will say is they have disproven a common belief system, which is that change has to be slow. In 366 days, they have gotten a lot done. They have caused a lot of chaos and mayhem everywhere. And so my question to you is it serving us well to believe the change is slow? Or is that a way that we get ourselves off the hook for actually wanting to do better with the money and the resources and the power that we have? And what would it look like if we had people, and I'm speaking to you, California, who wanted to be bold and, you know, and brazen, right? But on behalf of a not horrifying agenda, an agenda that says something like Mamdani sitting in New York, which is like, we want to make transit free and we want to get childcare for everyone. And we want, like, what does it look like if we all decided tomorrow that we wanted single payer healthcare and that California was going to do it because it's good for all of us? And so those are the decisions that we have to make. The question is not, can we do it or is it too expensive or any of those things? The question is, how badly do we want it and how willing are we to stand 10 toes down on that?
This episode of From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Torch Club, Sacramento's premier live music venue every Wednesday to Sunday. Check them out at 904 15th Street in Sacramento or online at torchclub.net.
Forgotten hands are the ones which we choose to let go of, but it is no less a bruise on the collective arm, keeping us high and gone. Forgotten dance is the one left at birth. Forgotten plants in the fossils.
These heavy conversations sometimes are very dark. It's like, oh, this is the way it is. Ooh. But I always want to leave people in a place where they know how they can engage. And you just were just leading us right there, which is, look, if you want these things, we can have them, but nobody's just going to give them to us, right? Like, what can our listeners do in their local community to make sure that these are the priorities, the priorities of that people's budget, which is so clear and so amazing. Like, wouldn't it be amazing if the budget was a referendum every year and you just walked in, you're like, well, our priorities are, here's what the people said. What can people do to get us to the point where our budgets and what we do are aligned with what people need? What can they do? What's the action they can take tomorrow when they get up?
Yeah. So one of the actions that you can take is, there's a great organization in the region, Social Justice Politicor, that is helping people to better understand the meetings that are happening around the county and what's going on. Following them, following the blog and the podcast that they've just recently launched, so that you can keep up with the local meetings in between elections, because we do need to be sharing our vision and carrying out the vision that comes about during election time throughout the year and making sure that as decisions are being made, our voices are heard. And then, of course, you know, there's getting involved in organizations that are doing ongoing organizing work. There's the Sacramento Valley Tenants Union. There are, you know, there's ACE. There's a new organization, Sacramento Pies, that's bringing together all these groups that are saying, hey, we want to do something different and we want to organize our communities towards these goals. We want to build political power with each other, not just around money, but also around people power, so that when it comes time to vote, when it comes time to make decisions, we have the numbers to be able to influence if we're not going to be able to outspend special interests. Many people have jobs and other interests, and maybe this isn't your jam. So linking up with organizations like Social Justice Politicor that can help you to break it down or help you to participate in some way so you can get the big picture are really helpful, because it means then you don't have to know everything yourself. You know where, though, we can come together to have collective wisdom and to think about how we do things together. That's the benefit of organizing.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't let you at least tell people how to find out about your campaign, how they can get involved, This is obviously, you know, helping somebody who's got, is aligned with your goals get elected is something you can do. And I will say, as somebody who's done that work many times for others, it is some of the most fun work you can do in your community, because you're gonna get in there, you're gonna meet like-minded people, and you're gonna all have a common goal, a common purpose, and there's a date attached to it. So you gotta
that's right.
Very motivating. So yes. How do people find out about your campaign, Flo?
We are 132 days away from June 2nd. And so, yes, I would love to have your support in this race. My website is flowforsac.com. That's FLOFORSAC.com. You can find us by just looking up Flo Cofer or going to the website directly or following us on socials. Those are all Flo for Sacramento. There's a lot of work to be done over the next 132 days and a lot of ways to plug in. And we really hope that you do.
Awesome, Flo. Make voting your song of the summer. Make democracy your song of the summer.
Yes.
and thank you so much for joining me today, Flo. I, as always, I learn something every time we talk. I don't feel like I was in a classroom. I thought it was a very engaging conversation on something that a lot of people think of like as the thing they don't want to eat on their plate, right? I want a nice plate of food, but I'm going to start with the thing I like best. Maybe I'll be over here in the mac and cheese zone, and I might leave my greens off to the side. But budget isn't the greens; it's the whole plate, and it's what it makes it all happen. And thank you for making it possible for people to understand this complicated thing, as you've done for me, and appreciate you coming.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And so we close our final show for a while, as we always do, with a place for you to engage and to do it with, I hope, a greater understanding of how it all works. It is my sincere hope that you get out in the world better informed and with an understanding of the power that you have, because that has always been what it's about on From the Roots Up. I'm your host, Sean Frame, and I hope you'll engage me in a conversation. If you want to reach out to us, send an email to fromtherootsupshow@gmail.com.
One of these days, when you figure it all out, well, be sure to let me know. Well, I'll be waiting right here, come and whisper in my ear. I wanna know. One of these days, gonna get into it, away on over our heads. Find that there's no place to hide. But if you fight and if you fail, don't fall back into yourself. You can fall back on me. Just a little bit, you know it's what I want.